Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply honored I am that you are listening to me. It's always amazing to me when we get to connect. It's very, very, it's just miraculous how technology works these days. This radio program, this satsang, is for September the 16th, 2017. And like I say, I'm very grateful to be with you. I want to remind you that these radio programs that you are listening to are made available due to the generosity, the kindness, the forethought of our sponsors who make all of this possible with their tax-deductible gifts. They are sponsors. That means that they support Aspire on a quarterly or monthly basis. And for their donations, they get to serve humankind in the most wonderful way. Really, it is. And I hope that you will join us to help us sustain Aspire. This is not an easy program to sustain, as you might understand, and it's important. It's extremely important. So if you are interested in knowing a little more about how to serve humankind and how to offer a change to those who are like yourself, please go to our website at aspire.org. aspire.org, and there you will see support in the middle of the page, of course. And if you hit that button, a submenu will come down and it will say why support Aspire. And there's all sorts of explanations there, not too long, but enough to keep you, well, in the understanding of how important it is for you to help us sustain our program and make all of this possible. Your gifts are tax deductible. You will receive a receipt for all of your donations. And for them, you get the message of the month, each and every month. And that's a very special thing that I do for my sponsors, as well as my podcast, video casts, and commentaries, and 122 discourses that I gave and have given for my TV programs. When I did a TV program, I would always associate it with a four disc set with eight different discourses on the subject matter that I was offering, and are very, very important. These discourses and this offering makes for a huge change in your life if you want it, and I'm hoping that you will take the time to go and listen to them. They're on all the subjects I did for TV and still do. And if you want to go there as a sponsor, you can. And they're all there available for you. You can download them, do whatever you want with them. They're there to serve you. Okay? Let's take a look at living. What does it mean to live or have a living? Now, this is a very interesting question. Typically, this equates to how we as individuals put together our daily life with events and circumstances. And that's just one small aspect of this whole big thing. But we get involved in it, and we think that our living is our family, our work, our kids, whatever touches our outer life. So I get a lot of questions about how to deal with the outer life and juggle, as it were, juggle a spiritual practice or whatever you consider being spiritual with your outer life. So let me get to the questions here. The first one is from Devin. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, how does one live in the way, as you call it, and still sustain a life outside in the outer world? Devin, Jesus answered this. The Buddha answered this. Lao Tzu answered this in the Tao. There are so many answers to this. To live in the world, but not let the world live in you. To walk that fine line between heaven and earth, as Buddha put it. There are so many different interpretations of this. And it is very difficult, especially when you think in terms of what one has to do in a world that is overcrowded to survive. And that is really an interesting conundrum to me. How do you do it? How do you live in this world and make the amount of money you need to sustain yourself without hurting other people, without hurting the world, without hurting yourself, and still make a living? I was having lunch with my stepson the other day, and we were chit-chatting about what was going on in the world. And he was telling me about this new thing that people have of how they make money. And they make money through the whole idea of playing video games and how they, steal programs from the internet, like the boxing match that just happened with two famous boxers. I don't know. I don't do boxing. I don't even do the world very much. So I said, well, you know, how do they do it? And he said, well, you know, these people are socially not very adept. And so what they do basically is they sit in their house and they stream events, and they also, in the course of all of this, do video games, and they make $50,000 a month. My God, $50,000 a month, and they never leave their house. And I was just thinking about that, Devin, in your email to me here about how people earn a living, how they make money, what they do to make money, what it is that it takes to survive, and yet to know the way. What do you have to do? These people are stealing things from others and then making money by channeling them to other people who are equally as, well, shall we say, dishonest. But this is the only way they can make a living. This is the only way they see they can make a living. So this is what they do. They do this kind of thing, and it's very, very bad for their karma. But the bottom line is they make a lot of money. And I think that has a lot to do with the way we do things in this world. We either make a lot of money and we do things that are, shall we say, less than honorable and virtuous. And there we are. There we are. So you asked me, Greg, how does one live in the way, as you call it? To live in the way, what is that? Well, the first thing it is, for all intents and purposes, is to never do things that would harm another person. To never do things that would take away from the experience of inner awakening. Not many people see awakening as being very important. Think about these young people who are sitting at home and they are doing what they do, making all this money by never leaving the house and, you know, basically stealing money from you know, other people, thinking that that's okay, but that's the best they can do. And I understand that, and you probably understand that, but that's where it's at right now, and that's where the world is due to overpopulation. So how do you live in the way? First, you have to see the bigger picture. That this lifetime is not about mere survival. If I did not survive one more day and yet had the awakening that is necessary to understand the bigger picture or to merge into the bigger picture, that would be all that is necessary. Just to merge with the bigger picture of this universe. So a part of what it means to awaken is to awaken to the inwardness of life itself. And that is very, very, very important, to do everything I can to make love possible in my life, to make the chance for love to grow and mature in me. These are things that matter a great deal. And people are always saying to me, well, how do I survive? You can't pay the bills with love. And I understand what you're saying. I do. But with love, you make all things possible. So you could pay the bills. It is difficult for those who look at their life and think that love is emotion to understand the nature of what I am talking about. But that is the way. So what can I say to you? Devin, to live in the way is to do no harm, to live in ultimate kindness and generosity, to live without trying to make sense of our living, to want nothing with all of our hearts, to seek that which is seeking us, to read between the lines, to see the bigger picture. It is so many things. What can I say? It is to heal, to renew. And sometimes that means even in the body. Most of us, well, we don't go there. We don't live in that kind of, well, spirituality. To us, being spiritual is putting on some robes and maybe trying to sit there and gut our way through a meditation. And that's a sad and pathetic thought, but that's the way people think of it. What can I say to you? This whole thing is about the state of love and not the state of what Gregory wants. To follow the way is to follow my life no matter where it takes me. There are so many things. Devin, you would have to, like, watch all of my TV programs. Passing Through the Fires would probably be your best bet. Passing Through the Fires is about what it means to go through the awakening process. So go take a look at that series. And you might even want to get the CDs where I go into more detail about it. But that would probably be the best way to begin. I wish you well, Devin. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's interesting because his question absolutely is essential, but it would entail my entire life's work, and it's kind of hard to do that in less than 10 minutes. I'm not very good at that. Next one comes from Beverly. She does not tell me where she lives either. She says, Greg, I have husband, kids, and work. How do I find the time to be spiritual? I mean, really, it's very difficult to carve out that time and still be with my family. Beverly. Beverly, you made a choice years ago, and the choice was made for you by your genetics and your DNA. And that's just the way it turned out for you. You have genetics, you have DNA just like anyone else, and that's where it all happened for you. You made the choice to get married and to have kids and to do the things you do in all of that to make your life whatever it is you wanted it to be, and so be it. There is your choice. Now you have to live with that choice. And that means that you have to be there for the kids. You do. You have to make dinner and do things with your husband. I understand. It means that you have responsibilities at work and you have those to carry out. And I understand. So, you know, there's all sorts of gimmicks that people have done. They know, people who are marketers know that, well, gee, you only have 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there to be spiritual, whatever that means to a person. So they do these 5-minute meditations, these 10-minute meditations, and, oh, I feel better. I did that. I got that done. Now I got to go to the next thing. And then I have to go to the next thing and the next thing. And before you know it, it's all about the next thing and the next thing. So I understand what you're saying, and I understand what you're thinking. but the way you live in the practice or the way of the heart, which is what being spiritual is really all about, simply means that you live a lifestyle, a different kind of lifestyle. A lifestyle where forgiveness and compassion are number one. No, number one, not number two, not number three. They are number one. Where kindness and silence merge together. And you understand that authentic kindness cannot happen unless there is silence. And when there is silence within our being, we work not from the ego, not from the vanity, not from the pride, but everything we do is a way of life that sustains goodness. Now, when you're doing that, when you're sustaining that kind of life, that kind of goodness through meditation and inner work, you start to change the lifestyle you're living in right now. And now that lifestyle revolves around teaching your children how to be respectful to others, teaching your children how to let love live them, teaching your family how to be more conscious and maybe working together, maybe, helping you make dinner, helping you clean up, where you are actually doing something to awaken yourself into the heart and soul of what it means to be authentically kind and forgiving. Now, when you are doing things like that, you are changing the modality of your entire life. And you are changing the children you live with. You are actually offering to them a chance to do something magnificent with their lives. And that is an awesome thing to be able to do. So when you're talking about the whole idea of what it means to work with a family that has way, way too much, responsibility in order to sustain itself, you have to change the system you live in and still maintain the responsibilities you have as a mother and as a family and as people. So what better way than to devote your life and everything you're doing to forgiveness, to kindness, to the touch of love, and to let love live you? To move beyond the whole idea of this is mine and that is yours and this is what we have to do and this is what we want to do, and being in conflict with everything in your worldly life. When we are in conflict with our lives because we have to do things that we don't care to do because we'd rather be doing other things that we think are more fun or more gratifying, that's where we go wrong. You can have a life where the things that are most important can be experienced through love. You really can. And if you are willing to change your life a little bit, if you are willing to chop wood, carry water, that means simply to do your life, but being aware of the state of your life, you will have something immensely important and beautiful, something deeply significant. Doing that is something that very few people choose to do. To live meditatively, to practice meditation, to be in meditation, to work at it with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, to never allow yourself to fall into the idea that getting the affection of others replaces finding the love in your heart, that the responsibilities that you have should be done without any kind of love or kindness in you, to go beyond the beyond, that is really what it's all about. So you can have your big family, and you made decisions to have them anyway, and you can't escape them, you can't dump them. So incorporate kindness and love, meditation, forgiveness in everything you do. If you do things like that, you can change your life, believe it or not. And your path will go beyond the pedestrian mentality of just, quote unquote, raising a family and living your life from the premise of, I hope this works, which is what people do. It's really strange to me. I hope that helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is from Tina in Newport Beach, California. Why is living so hard, Greg? I have three kids, another on the way. I want my life back, and I don't know what to do. Wow. What a life. Seems like you know what to do. It seems like you've made these decisions. And I'm not so sure that they're the decisions you want to live with for the rest of your life. But nonetheless, and less than none, you're going to have to live with them for the rest of your life. And you're going to have to look at it from a deeper point of view. What is it that constitutes a person's life? Is it not the love that we have? The love that we can recognize, the love we can awaken to, spiritually speaking, is it not? Is not love the way of the heart? Is not love the way of life, the meaning of our entire existence in this world? Very few people adore their life. Very, very few. And the reason being is because they make the outer more important than the inner. And when they go to their inner life, they're extremely unhappy with it because it is reflecting all of the things that we've said and done, all of the things that have to do with getting what we want, not getting what we want, about affection, I find out, adoration, and not having it. And that's as far as it goes. I asked one person who is always complaining, just nothing but a bunch of complaints when one of my counseling sessions, what would make you happy? And she looked at me and thought, never figured it out, never got an answer, never could, because she didn't know what was going to make her happy. And you know what? To be honest with you, she didn't care. She liked the complaining, and she admitted it. She said, as long as there's something to complain about, I know I'm alive, and at least there's a chance. A chance for what? You see, that's the way we live. We don't know what it is we're doing. We know not what we do. And I think you should maybe live with that. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what all this means. I don't get it. And the more you start looking at your life from the perspective of how you live without the manner of spirit that lives within you, the more you're going to understand why your life has become so hard. My life is hard when I forget what it is I'm here for, when I forget what I am, when I forget the meaning of my existence beyond the concepts of, oh, my conflict of what I think is right and wrong, good and bad. Don't make your life a fight. You have three kids and another on the way. Isn't that enough? In light of our population issues, you didn't help much, did you? So now you're here having another child because you had irresponsible sex. And you're looking at it going, now what? And you have to ask yourself, why did I do that? What is it in me that made that happen? Why do I need such adoration? You begin to look at it very deeply. You'll find your answer. You want your life back? You don't want your life back. You want a life beyond the idea of servitude to your senses, servitude towards your desires and your pride. you want a real life. I gotta go. Please forgive me, eh? Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Hope you'll join me. Become a sponsor. Help us sustain our radio program here, eh? Please forgive me. Namaste.